Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How have you been? I hope you've been well, as always. I wish nothing but the best for all of you. I hope that you're happy, healthy, safe, rich, protected, perhaps even immortal. You know, whatever works for you. Things here are good. It's getting into summer. You may remember last year. It's been over a year since I moved down to Osaka, and pretty much every week I did nothing but complain about the summer heat, and I guarantee I'll do that again this time, so buckle up, Buttercup. All right. Well, I don't really have that much to talk about this week in terms of general news. I mean, Japan got a new prime minister again, and the new guy's name is Khan. Now, I know every comedian is going to hit this, but I really, really, really couldn't help myself when I first heard it. I made fists and I stared up at the ceiling and I yelled, "Khan!" And it's a low-hanging fruit, but I really had to pick it. So there we go. That's why sometimes politics in Japan can be funny. And I've been reading some good books, too. I read Origins of the Species, which is a book by Patricia O'Connor and Stuart Kellerman. It's about misconceptions in the English language, which is really fun. I like that a lot. And Logic Comics, which is by some people whose Greek names I'm about to butcher, Apostolos Doxiadis and Christos Papadimitrio, with Alekos Papadatos and Annie Didona. It's really interesting, but here's the weird thing. I can't stop reading. I get to the end, and I go back to the beginning again so I can read it again, because I'm convinced I missed something. So I have to keep reading it, and that's a little weird. But it's good. It's a really good book. I can't wait to bring it up on the podcast at some point. But right now, I haven't even begun to think how I'm going to write a review of that book. So why don't we jump into something more fun? I told you last week we talked about John Scalzi's Old Man's War, and I said this week's book is the one that it most often gets compared to, a book by Robert Heinlein. Now, I'm afraid I got no correct guesses, which I was very disappointed in, people. I mean, this is Googleable. You know, most of my clues are Googleable, but this is definitely Googleable. And I think I just made an adjective out of Google, but I don't know. The answer is Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein. Boy, wow, y'all let me down this week. I'm sad. I'm a sad panda. But anyway, yes, this week we're doing Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein. So, this book is controversial. It says so right there on the cover. The controversial classic of military adventure. And a quick look at its Wikipedia page seems to support this, claiming that the book has been criticized for its literary merit, for its support of the military up to and including fascism, racism, utopianism, and God's know what else. What is certainly true is that it's a book that's guaranteed to make someone, somewhere, very, very angry. So, here's how it works. In the unspecified future, humanity has taken to the stars. In our efforts to colonize planets that are hospitable to us, we have spread as far and as wide as possible. Unfortunately, this has brought us into direct contact with alien races who are not entirely keen on sharing land with us, and, as we have always done, we are willing to fight, bleed, and die for every inch of it. Our main enemy in this future is the Bugs, whose proper name we never really learn, and they are a vicious enemy indeed. They possess kind of a hive mind made up of soldiers, workers, and brains. The soldiers are, of course, the most dangerous, not least because they have no individual sense of self-preservation. Unlike human soldiers who value their comrades and brothers-in-arms highly, the Bugs will never go back for a fallen comrade and never consider the safety of their own when prosecuting a campaign against the humans. In other words, the Bugs truly are alien to us and therefore need to be eliminated. The story follows a young man, Juan Rico, in his journey from enlisted grunt in the mobile infantry to officer in the Terran Federation. Through his eyes, we learn about the technological lengths that we have gone to in order to be able to fight the Bugs. First among these is the powered armor that the mobile infantry wears, an all-purpose exoskeletal unit that vastly increases its wearer's speed and strength, in addition to providing him with instant contact with his squadmates and vital information that he needs to fight the enemy. Humanity in the future has made great strides in terms of warfare, all out of the need to defeat the Bugs. So you might be forgiven, then, for thinking that this was a grand military adventure. that we would feel the thrill and the terror of a young military recruit as he experiences a universe larger and wider than he ever could have imagined. You would be wrong. Not entirely wrong, of course. If you read it right, you can infer the newness and the strangeness of the circumstances that Juan Rico finds himself in. But this book, it isn't about Juan Rico, even though he is the narrator. In fact, we don't even learn his proper name until nearly two-thirds of the book is finished. Before then, he's just Johnny, which is one of the most generic soldier names out there. Juan Rico is so irrelevant to the story that we don't even find out that English isn't his native tongue until three pages before the end of the book. Juan Rico, in this book, is really nothing more than a cipher in this tale. He's about as important to the content of Starship Troopers as Glaucon is to the Republic. Let me explain. In the classic tale of Socrates, the philosopher talks about justice and politics and society with his wisdom inspired by a question and answer session with his students. So somehow the students always manage to ask just the right questions to allow Socrates to expound on his theories, and they're usually wrong in just the right ways to make Socrates look smart. So it is with Starship Troopers. Juan Rico is the means by which Robert Heinlein is able to put forth his opinions on war and society, politics, citizenship, crime, child-rearing, and, of course, military service. Instead of writing a series of straightforward essays, unfortunately, he decided to make his readers slog through Starship Troopers. This book really is a love letter to the military and everything it stands for. Not just war and death and destruction, of course, but also loyalty, sacrifice, and devotion to duty. It's an examination into why people become soldiers, why some succeed and others fail, and about the historical importance of the soldier class in human history. It's about war as a tool of diplomacy, both in its startling effectiveness and its unfortunate inevitability, as well as the importance of the chain of command and proper military discipline. It's about the comradeship of veterans and the lessons they learn during the service. There's a really good reason why this book is on the reading lists for both the U.S. Navy and the Marines. What it is not about is any of the characters that are actually involved in the story. The only reason Juan Rico is who he is because he's not someone else. He could have been Buddy St. Germain or Phil Waxman or Marvin Crumplebottom, and the story would have read exactly the same. Son of a rich businessman who enlists in the armed forces just to tweak his father, learns a whole host of valuable lessons, trademark, and eventually discovers his calling. There's absolutely nothing about Juan Rico that makes him any more interesting than any other character, except that he happens to be the narrator of the story. If that were all, if that were it, I might be able to let this book slide as just thinly veiled military fetishism, but honestly, there's no veil there at all. The story stops in several places while Heinlein uses his characters as mouthpieces to tell us how he thinks society should be run. Ancillary characters, students, subordinate soldiers, ask just the right questions or are wrong in just the right ways so that Heinlein, much like Plato speaking through Socrates, can make the points he wants to make. For example, Juan's professor, retired Lieutenant Colonel Dubois, and other lecturers repeatedly point to the 20th century as a model of how not to govern, happily cherry-picking some of the worst results of our system of government and holding them up to the inevitable result of a society that is not run by veterans. For that is how he sees the best of all possible states, one in which only veterans are full citizens, and in which only veterans can run the country. The logic being that only someone who has voluntarily enlisted and served in the military is able to truly put the needs of society before his own, and is therefore the best person to run a country. Heinlein, through his fictional avatars, then goes on to show how much more superior the Terran Federation is to its more democratic predecessors, and how stupid we in the 21st century were not to see the obvious truth. The message, then, is that the reader is stupid. If, of course, he or she does not agree with Heinlein. The ancillary characters who challenge Heinlein's thesis are written off as obvious idiots and are roundly insulted and abused by their superiors, which effectively becomes Heinlein abusing his readers. In addition, Heinlein sets up so many straw men to knock down that it just gets tiresome. Juan's father, for example, is almost stereotypical as a foil to Dubois. Mr. Rico is rich and aloof, and he sees the military as nothing more than a bunch of violent thugs who have outlived their usefulness. The first time we see him, he's a snob and a jerk and a dilettante, and Juan's decision to piss him off by joining is almost inevitable. The next time we see Mr. Rico, of course, he has joined the mobile infantry himself and has seen the error of his ways. Other members of the cast are overtly written to embody certain themes in Heinlein's opinion of military rule, both positive and negative. Private Hendrick, for example, is a constant complainer. He's one who stands up for himself during boot camp and barely escapes a hanging. He's not disciplined enough to be a soldier and, by extension, a citizen, and therefore serves as a warning to others. Sergeant Zim, on the other hand, is the consummate soldier, hard on his charges in boot camp, yet as concerned about them as a father would be to his sons. Zim, along with an array of lieutenants, captains, and other officers, serve as blatant father substitutes for Juan Rico, with all the qualities that one would want in a father, and absolutely none of the drawbacks. If anything, their only flaws are that they are too concerned about their soldiers. As a side note, by the way, the entire boot camp sequence is much, much more entertaining if you read Sergeant Zim with the voice of Invader Zim. It exponentially improves the book. I can't recommend it enough. So while reading, I actually wondered if maybe Heinlein was being sarcastic. If maybe he was trying to demonstrate the true folly of military fetishism by taking it to its ultimate extreme. I have to admit, I didn't disagree with all of his ideas. His thoughts on juvenile delinquency, for example, really struck a chord with me. He maintains that treating young offenders as rational adults who can learn from their crimes is foolishness, since, like puppies, young people are not inherently rational and have not yet learned the difference between right and wrong. The term juvenile delinquent, he maintains, is an oxymoron, since a juvenile has not yet been able to learn of his or her duty to others and therefore cannot be delinquent. To treat him or her as if she or he were, wow, parse that sentence again, is to fatally misunderstand human nature. And I think there is a grain of truth to the idea that someone who willingly puts his or her life and body on the line for his or her fellow citizens might indeed have the perspective necessary to govern a country. I would point out, however, that this argument rests on a flawed assumption, that service automatically confers selflessness. There may be correlation, but causation is not yet proven. But, you know, I don't think he's being sarcastic. The themes and ideas in this book resonate with those that permeate his other books. What's more, Dubois sounds a lot like Jubal Harshaw, Lazarus Long, and Professor de la Paz, other characters from other books who all served as mouthpieces for the author's political and social philosophies. And this is what makes Heinlein's book so special. He's not afraid to stand up for his ideas and put them right there on the page for the readers to see. So, it's not so much Heinlein's ideas that I object to in this book, even if I do disagree with many of them. It is his presentation of those ideas that bothers me. Flawed logical methods presented as irrefutable discourse, transparent characters with no life beyond their purpose as object lessons, and a dissertation on military supremacy that is just barely disguised as a science fiction novel. It's written from the presumption that the writer is right and the reader is, from the first page, completely and utterly wrong. I think the ideas that Heinlein presents in the book are important, and they are worthy of discussion. I just wish he had held his readers in a little higher esteem when he decided to discuss them. So those are my thoughts on Starship Troopers. If you disagree, by the way, if you're a major Heinlein fanatic and you really, really love this book, please tell me. Tell me why you disagree. Tell me what you think. This is my reading of it, and again, your mileage may vary, and I'd be really, really interested to see another point of view. Please, email me. Put it up on Facebook. You might not have room on Twitter, but you can certainly try. So, let me give you a quote, as always, from the book. This is part of an exchange between a student and Mr. Dubois in the history class. And the student, and I can almost hear her voice, too. You know, it's sort of like California, stupid upper crust voice. Oh, my God. She says, "My mother says that violence never settles anything." To which Mr. Dubois responds, "So, I'm sure the city fathers of Carthage would be glad to know that." The point being that Carthage was obliterated by military force, which solved quite a few problems. So that was a student to Mr. Dubois. That's part of Starship Troopers. Definitely read the book. It is well worth reading, even if I don't particularly like it, and I'm probably not going to read it too many other times. I think it is worth reading. And if you're interested in Heinlein as a writer, it's required reading, really. So that is Starship Troopers. This is turning into a slightly longer podcast than usual. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop my babbling. I'm going to jump to the end. And here it is. Clue to next week's book. I said last week that I wanted to do Stephen King this week, but I thought Heinlein would be more appropriate. So by God, I'm doing Stephen King next week. The next week's book, it's about brothers, murder, betrayal, and napkins. Which book by Stephen King are we talking about next week? Email, Twitter, Facebook, Carrier Pigeon me, and let me know what you think. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.